So I just wanted to do a 5-minute review, 3-minute review of what we discussed yesterday, and then move on to some new things. So again, yesterday we developed the idea that when it comes to the Torah itself, the Pshuto Shel Mikra in the Chumash itself seems to identify two separate and distinct themes when it comes to Kedusha Shabbos. There's a theme that is what I call the Maisa Bereishis theme, that we go ahead and Hashem created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and that creates upon us an obligation to recognize Hashem as the Borei Olam. And that seems to be a universal idea. That's perhaps why in Parshas Yisro, the emphasis, and again, the words that are used, the Shabbos is referred to as Yom HaShvi'i. It's Zohar as Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. It just requires some kind of intellectual cognition. And the Makadesh of the Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem rested on the seventh day. Al kein Beirach Hashem es Yom HaShabbos Vayekadshehu. That was one angle of Shabbos. And then we find that in Parshas Voschanon, and I think really echoed also in Parshas Kisisa, is another aspect of Shabbos. And there the Torah tells us, number one, Shomer es Yom HaShabbos. Number two, Al kein Tzivcha Hashem Elkecha la'asos es Yom HaShabbos. We are commanded to make Shabbos. It's on us. And the reason for Shabbos is V'zacharta ki eved hayisa be'eretz Mitzrayim. To remember that we were avadim in Eretz Mitzrayim. And perhaps the idea there is, what Yetzias Mitzrayim did for us is it defined us as the Am Segula. That's when we became a nation under God. And if there's one mitzvah that signifies and that highlights the unique relationship that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, V'shomer b'nei Yisrael ha'Shabbos la'asos ha'Shabbos d'orasam b'Yisraelam, b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael os hi le'olam, what establishes the unique os between the Jewish people and Hashem? So that is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And perhaps it's no coincidence that when was, and this we didn't mention yesterday, I want to add a few points to what we said yesterday, when is it that we were commanded about the mitzvah of Shabbos? Did that wait till Har Sinai that we were commanded in Shabbos? It didn't wait till Har Sinai. We were commanded in Shabbos before Har Sinai. Right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, Amalek attempted to attack us, and then we went to Marah, there was no water, and we were given Shabbos at Marah. And perhaps we were given Shabbos at Marah because, again, before Kabbalas HaTorah. Because Shabbos, again, is really Yetzias Mitzrayim connected. There's a connection because that's when we became the Am HaNivchar. That's what became the Am Segula. And it's no coincidence that if you go and you meet, you go to some campus, you go to some place, and you want to know if a person's religious, if he's a Torah Jew, do you ask him, are you somer the mitzvah of tzitzis? Do you wear tzitzis? That's not the first question that we ask. The first question that we ask, is he shomer Shabbos? That's the question we ask because for some reason, some metaphysical reason, the mitzvah of Shabbos is what really defines the Jew's relationship to Ribono Shel Olam. And again, that's why the Goyim, many Goyim, a lot of religions have a day of rest. They have, again, the Christians have their Sunday, the Muslims have their Friday, but the halacha is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Ches Min Beis that Nochri Sheshavas Chayv Misa, because Shabbos is the unique province of Knesset Yisrael. A well-known Israeli poet, Achad Ha'am, once said, and I think it's a very poignant statement, he said as follows, Yoter Shabbos Shomer Es Yisrael Mi Yisrael Shomer Es HaShabbos. Shabbos keeps the Jew even more than the Jew keeps Shabbos. In other words, by us keeping Shabbos, it creates and becomes a symbiotic relationship that now Shabbos also preserves and keeps the Jew. And that is a unique feature and perhaps the Yetzias Mitzrayim element of Shabbos. And that, therefore, is not universal. It's not fulfilled by a mere perfunctory Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos. It demands a Shmira. Shmira is much more than just a zachor, an intellectual. V'shomer es Yom HaShabbos requires embracing Shabbos, cleaving to Shabbos, and that's the unique kedusha that is enhanced by Bnei Yisrael keeping the Shabbos. There's Shabbos, there's inherent kedusha of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem rested on the seventh day, and then there's an elevated kedusha that emerges when a Jew makes Kiddush, when we make Kiddush. We are sanctifying and endowing the day with a higher level of Kedusha, and so forth. And I think this ties into the Gemara I asked you to look at on Samach Testament Base. Because there the Gemara... Yeah?
Is Sean Moore, is Zohor, can you say the passive aspect of Shabbos is Zohor and the active aspect is Sean Moore?
I can say that, and I am saying that. I want to make clear that Chazal, in Chazal understand from Zohar, the word Zohar is how they learn out the mitzvah of Kiddush. So they do say there are some activities that you do. Zohar is the mitzvah say, Shamar is the lota says. But again, on a pshat level, in the psukim, on a pshat level, Zohar is really intellectual. Zohar means a cognition in the mind. Shamar implies a much greater embracing of the activity, which would require more action, more keeping Shabbos, so to speak. The way we say, do you keep Shabbos? That's the language of Shamar. Okay, so the Gemara, Binyamin Zinkin, you with me?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, fantastic. So now the Gemara tells us. In Maseches Shabbos Daf Samech Tesmet Beis. A very interesting Gemara. We're going to do it very relatively quick. I'll do it outside. The Gemara is bothered by the following hypothetical scenario. What is the din for a person who got lost in the midbar? He lost track of count of time. He has no idea what day of the week it is. When should he keep Shabbos? What day of the week does he keep Shabbos? And the Gemara suggests two possibilities. One possibility is he counts 6 days of Chol and then he keeps the seventh day of Shabbos. The other possible is the opposite, is he'll go ahead and count the first day he's going to keep his Shabbos and then 6 days of Chol. And then the Gemara says an interesting question. Bimai kamiflagi. What exactly is their argument? What's the Hezber HaMachlokas? What are they arguing about? And the Gemara suggests something amazing. You see, I understand very well, count 6 days, rest on the seventh. That makes sense. And the Gemara says, yeah, that makes sense. Kibriyoso shel olam. That's how Hashem created the world. 6 days of Chol, and then a seventh day of Shabbos. Kibriyoso shel olam. That's very, very mistabe. But what's Pshat? Why would you hold 1 day of Shabbos and then 6 days of Chol? What's the rationale? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the rationale. Ka'adam harishon. Ka'adam harishon. Because when was Adam created? When was Adam? Adam was created at the end of the sixth day. At the end of the sixth day, right before Shkia, which means Adam's first day was Shabbos. So from the Adam perspective, Shabbos is really the first day of the week. And therefore the Gemara suggests maybe we should look at this question from the Adam perspective. And if that's the perspective we're going to focus on, then Shabbos is day one, not day seven. I'm very sorry. Okay, so once again, Adam HaRishon was the end of the creation. So his first full day was Shabbos. His first full day was Shabbos. And that, says the Gemara, is the perspective that we have. There's two visions of how we view Shabbos. Is Shabbos really the seventh day of the week? And that's the view of Hashem's perspective. Kibriyoso shel olam, Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Adam HaRishon's perspective is Shabbos is really the first day of the week. It's his first day of existence. Now, again, the Gemara is going to have a lengthy shakav atari, la halacha. If this ever happens to you, it will never will. But if it does, then you hold 6 days and rest on the seventh. And the Gemara says even furthermore is that you have to actually keep every single day of Shabbos, because every single day of Shabbos is a sfeika diyoma, is a suffix whether it's Shabbos or not, and suffix doraisa lechumra. So we keep every day of Shabbos except what you need to live, to survive, what's called kadei parnasaso. And then the only question is, which one is the day of Kiddush and Havdalah? Do you make Kiddush and Havdalah on the seventh day? You make it on the first day? We paskin, you make it on the seventh day. But I'm looking on a lumdusha level. On a lumdusha abstract level, what is the Gemara essentially saying to us? It's saying to us, I believe, is what is our perspective? What's the essential Kedusha of Shabbos? Is the essential Kedusha of Shabbos what I'm going to call the Parshas Yisro Kedusha? The Maisa Bereishis Kedusha. The Kedusha of Alkein Beirach Hashem Es Yom HaShabbos VaYikadshehu. And if that's the essential Kedusha, then it's 6 days of Chol and then the seventh day is Shabbos. However, there's another aspect to Kedusha Shabbos, and that is what I'm suggesting. Ethan over here. That is what I am suggesting is Shmuel Barg over here. That is what I'm suggesting is the Kedusha of Shabbos that is the human element that demands we invest ourselves into Shabbos, that we sanctify the Shabbos. The human element adds to the Shabbos experience. It is not just sit back and it's holy, but we endow it. And that is what I would call the Adam HaRishon perspective, and that's why the Gemara highlights maybe the human perspective is critical and is the dominant feature of Kedusha Shabbos, and perhaps that's why there is also an element of starting on the first day, Adam HaRishon, because without that human involvement, it doesn't have its essential aspect of Kedusha. It's no coincidence that when we make Kiddush on Friday night, so we speak about both aspects of Shabbos. We speak about the aspect of Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, and we also speak about Ki Eved HaYisa Be'eretz Mitzrayim, because again, LaHalacha, both elements are going to be at play. Now, I'm not going to get into this right now, but there is a very, very interesting sugya in Maseches Shabbos Daf Yutes, which I just want to mention, and I can prove to you, and you'll prove it to yourself. I already ask you right now, just again, but think before you answer. What day of the week is Shabbos? What's your answer?
The last day. Is the obvious answer.
Saturday is the obviously the wrong answer. Saturday is not the answer I'm looking for. That's just a translation. Okay, so it's either one of two possibilities. One possibility is from the divine perspective, from Hashem's perspective, Shabbos is the seventh day of the week, and that's what we generally assume. It's Yom HaShvi'i, that's how we refer to it. But from the Adam HaRishon perspective, Shabbos is really day one. Now, I'm going to share with you one other perspective. Again, this is just as a thought, as an idea. I've never seen this in print anywhere, but maybe we can argue that Shabbos also has an aspect that it is, I will call it the fulcrum of the week. It is the middle day of the week. It is the fourth day of the week. What do I mean by that? Can you bring me any proof that in a certain sense Shabbos stands as the middle point of the week? Not the beginning of the week, day one, not the end of the week, day seven, but the middle of the week, day four. Any indication but raise your hand so I can just recognize you. Yeah, Mayor Eisner, go ahead.
Because that way Hashem and Adam would both have an equal amount of days.
Yeah, that's lovely, but I'm looking for a proof. Give me a din, a halacha, that might indicate that Shabbos stands in the middle of the week. A halacha that you know about. Yes, Binyamin Zinkin.
When you make Havdalah for Havdalah,
excellent.
You can only make it until the fourth day.
Very good. When is the last time you can make Havdalah? When's the absolute latest time you can make Havdalah?
Tuesday.
The answer is Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday evening is the end of Zman Havdalah. Why? Where does that come from? Because in a certain sense, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, are shayach to the prior Shabbos. When on Wednesday morning, we say a Shir Shalom. What is the Shir Shalom we say Monday morning? The end of the Shir Shalom. What pasuk do we say in the end of the Shir Shalom? Wednesday morning. It's not a coincidence. We say Lechuna Ranana. And Wednesday morning at the end of the Shir Shalom, we say, why? Because Tuesday is shy to the prior Shabbos. Wednesday, we are starting already to anticipate and get ready for the coming Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is before Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is after Shabbos. When they used to write Gittin, the Gemara tells Maseches Gittin that when a get was written on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it was written Yom Revi'i Kamei Shabbat, before Shabbos. When it was written on a Tuesday, they used to write Yom Shlishi La'achar HaShabbos, because Shabbos, in a certain sense, stands as the middle day of the week. There is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Yutes, which says that you're not allowed to go on a boat journey, on a journey on a boat that's going to go over Shabbos if the journey begins on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. If it begins on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you can go. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can't go. What is the rationale? What's the logic to say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yes, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, no? So the Gemara, the Rishonim indicate that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll already, big word coming, in the penumbra of Shabbos. You are now in the aura of Shabbos. Once you're in the aura of Shabbos, you have to start anticipating Shabbos. To get on a boat where there's going to be Chillul Shabbos on Shabbos done for you to keep that boat floating, starting Wednesday, you start have to be worried about the coming Shabbos. Why? Because you're now in that penumbra, the aura of Shabbos. That's why Lechuna Ranana. When it comes to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that's shy to the prior Shabbos. So in a certain sense, Shabbos also stands as the fulcrum of the week, the middle of the week, impacting the coming week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and also impacting the prior week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, that is what I wanted to say, finishing up unit number one. But again, the Yesod is these two aspects of Shabbos. That's kind of an introduction. Let's move on quickly. Let's get started in unit number two. And what it's titled is the source of Lamedes Melachos. And I asked you to look at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah will spend a lot of time looking at some of the details of these Melachos. And hopefully we'll really walk away with a real understanding of Lamedes Melachos. But what I wanted to focus on now, just briefly get started with, is how do we know the Lamedes Melachos? Where do we get them from? If you look in the Chumash for Lamedes Melachos, quiz, see how much you know. In the Chumash, how many of the Lamedes Melachos are enumerated in the Chumash? Of the 39, how many are enumerated in the Chumash?
40 minus 1.
Yonah Hook, terrible. Terrible. Absolutely not.
None of them.
The answer, none of them, is closer than Yonah's answer, but is also wrong. Is also wrong. There's two malachos that are enumerated in the Chumash. One malacha that's enumerated in the Chumash is found in Parshas Bishalach and a number of other places is the malacha of Hotsa'a. Hotsa'a is explicit in the Chumash. Al Yotze Ish Min Komo, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. That's enumerated. We'll have to understand why that is enumerated, but that's enumerated. The other malacha that's enumerated is the malacha of Havara, of burning on Shabbos. Lo Sevaru Eish Bechol Mosvosechem Biyom HaShabbos. That's found in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Those are two malachas. Every other malacha, the other 37 malachos, you can look up and down in the Chumash. Straight away, you will not find any mention of Borer or Bishel or Bona or Soter or Koseh or Mochek. None of them will be found in the Chumash. So the question then is, how do we learn Lamedes Melachos? Where do we get them from? And the popular answer, and the answer that is discussed in the Gemara that you might have seen on Daf Mem Tes, is we learn it out from Mishkan. That the Melachos, that the activities that were done to build the Mishkan, are the prohibited Melachos on Shabbos. And it's no coincidence that if you go ahead and do a scan of the word malacha, if I were to ask you, by the way, how do we define the word malacha, what's the answer? Definition of the word malacha.
Work.
Who said work?
I did.
Yeah, I was looking for you to say work, Avi. I knew you were going to say work, and work is absolutely not correct. If I were to ask you what word is the best word to describe work in Hebrew, what would you say? Avoda. Is Avoda a biblical word? Is that found in the Torah? Absolutely. Of course it is. It certainly is. Avoda is in the Torah. The Torah knows the word work. Malacha is a term of art. It does not mean work. In fact, if you look at the Chumash, you do a search, and you type in the word malacha, you will find the word malacha almost only appears in one of two contexts. It appears in the context of Meleches HaMishkan, and it appears in the context of Meleches Shabbos, almost exclusively, with one or two exceptions. But that's it. The word malacha means Meleches HaMishkan, which in turn also means the malachos that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's what the word means. Work, I don't think work would be an accurate description, because when you call match work, I wouldn't call that work. I wouldn't call that work. Yet, striking a match is one of the Lamentes Malachas. So the word Malacha, we're not going to translate as work. We're going to translate it as activities that were done in Binyan HaMishkan, for the Mishkan. And that's how the term is going to be defined. And that's what the Gemara on Daf Mem Tes is going to address. And we will look at that Gemara, probably not today, but I'll look at it tomorrow. I want to raise one following issue with you. And that is, I asked you to look at a Rashi in Masech Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel. Not the easiest Rashi to read, but the Rashi is saying something very profound. The 11th Malacha, if you count the Malachos, is the Malacha of Ofeh, is baking. And Rashi there, Dibur HaMaskel HaOfeh, is bothered by a very simple and basic question. And I'm going to ask you this question, Rashi's question. If the Malachos are derived from the Mishkan, where did they bake for Binyan HaMishkan? Where was baking done to construct the Mishkan? Who said it was not?
Binyamin
Zinkin. So Yonah Hook says, Lechem HaPanim. Binyamin Zinkin said it was not. So what's this machlekes all about? What are they arguing about? Yonah Hook. Yonah Hook. Did they bake to build the Mishkan?
Yes.
Absolutely not. They did not bake to build the Mishkan. The Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim was not, they didn't construct the Mishkan with Lechem HaPanim. What they did is they baked Lechem HaPanim as a korban. But they didn't construct the Mishkan with Lechem HaPanim. So Rashi says, take a look at Rashi, let's look at it together. HaOfeh. Rashi writes, HaOfeh, lo have ba Mishkan. Baking was not in the Mishkan. Delo shayach ela bepas. Baking you do for bread. Velo shayach b'melechas haMishkan. And it's not relevant to melechas haMishkan. Aval kulu kamaisa. The first 11 melachos. Have b'samemonim. Shel tseva tcheles v'argomon v'tola'at shani. They needed dyes in the Mishkan of different colors, tcheles and scarlet. They needed all the different dyes. So to have those different dyes, how do you make dyes? The answer is you take herbs, natural substances. Well, how do you get natural substances? The answer is you plow and you plant and you harvest and you thresh and you bow rear and you do all those things until you have this product. And then you throw it into water on a fire and you cook it and you produce and you make a dye. The dyes were necessary for Binyan HaMishkan. And that is the first 11 Malachas, says Rashi. Which means, even though the Mishnah says, Ofer, is Ofer one of the Lamentes Malachas? Shmuel, I can't hear you, Shmuel Bark.
Yes.
No, it is not. It is not one of the Lamentes Malachas. It is listed in the list of Lamentes Malachas, but it's not one of the Lamentes Malachas. In fact, what is truly the 11th Malacha, says Rashi?
Bishul.
It's Bishul. And Ofeh is, at best, what we'll call a tolda, but it's not one of the Lamentes Malachos. And this is not the first time that Rashi, well, it's not the only time, not the first time Rashi makes this comment. Take a look now at the Gemara Daf Mem Tes Mem Beis, a Gemara that hopefully some of you, perhaps even many of you saw. So the Gemara here has an important discussion. We'll read it tomorrow together, but I don't want to read it right now. The Gemara says that we learn the Malachos from the Mishkan. And the Gemara describes on Mem Testament base. Haim Zaru, they planted, Atem Lo Tizra. On Shabbos, you don't plant. Haim cut through, they harvested on Shabbos Atem Lo Tikzeru. And if you look at Rashi, down below, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page, Rashi writes as follows. Heim Zaru V'Katzru. They planted. They harvested. Samimanim. What is Samimanim? You're going to hear that word a lot. Let's call it out.
Dies.
Correct. So they planted, Zaru v'katzu samanim, litzvoa tcheles, v'orose lin, v'tochanu, they grinded, v'lasu, they kneaded, with a K, samanim litzvoa. And then he says, v'ofe diktani b'masnisin ba'avos malachos, and that which it says ofe, as one of the lametes malachos, don't get confused, Shmuel Bark. Never get confused. It's not ofe. It doesn't mean ofe. Rather, it's bishul samimanim. It's bishul samimanim. It's bishul, not ofe. So you'll ask me a question. So then why does it say ofe if it's bishul? So who asked that question? The Gemara asked that question. This is all in your Marmakomos. Open up, please, to Ayin Dalit. Amid Beis. Ayin Dalit Amid Beis. And we are looking at the sixth line in the Gemara. Sixth line. Where it says, V'halosh V'ha'ofe. Ayin Dalet Amid Beis V'Halosh V'Ha'Ofe. Says the Gemara. Ha'Ofe, that's our malacha that we're talking about. Amar Papa, Shavak Tana Didon Bishul Samemanim Dahave Bamishkan V'Nokat Ofe. Why did it take out Bishul, which existed in the Mishkan, and it mentioned Ofe, which is not in the Mishkan? So Amar. So the answer is Tana Didan Sidura de Pas Nokat. So the reason it said Ofe not Bishul, says the Talmud Bavli, is Sidura de Pas Nokat. Shmuel Barak, can you recite to me Baal Peh, the first 11 malachos?
No,
I figured you couldn't. How about your dear friend, Daniel Jaffe? Could you do it?
No, I cannot.
No, you cannot. Okay, probably most of you couldn't. But if you were a farmer who was used to the agricultural cycle, who has to make bread every single day, you'd be able to rattle them off just like that. So basically, the Torah says, the Gemara, the Bavli says, we gave the people a mnemonic device to help remember the first 11 malachos, leading up to, imagine the baking process. So basically, you're going to get from a seed, from a piece of land and a seed, to a loaf of bread. Oh, I know exactly what those 11 processes are. Those are the 11 processes. It's a mnemonic device. So it said Ofe to facilitate memorizing the first 11 malachas. But what is really the 11th malacha? It's not Ofe. It's Bishul. It's Bishul. And this is the position of the Talmud Bavli, as I understand it, based on his Gemara, and certainly Rashi. You want to know what the 11 malachas are? Look at the Samamonim, and Bishul is the malacha, not Ofe. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will look at...
I have a question.
You can definitely ask Yitzi. I love your questions.
All right. What's the point of being able to memorize like a formula if the formula is wrong?
That's a good question. It's not... First of all, I'd like you to ask the question tomorrow again, because it's not really wrong. The formula is not wrong. it's the value is that, first of all, you get the first 10 malachos for sure right. Ofer, because of its commonality to Bishul, it is very similar to Bishul, albeit not identical. Ofer is going to be a tolda according to the Bavli and Rashi, not an av malacha. The halachos are going to be similar. So it's a technical point that that it's not Bishul, but rather Ofer. I'm sorry, that's not Ofer, but rather Bishul. Fundamentally, once you get to the tenth, and you understand this principle of Mishkan, then you're going to get to Bishul, not Ofer. So you're not going to make the mistake fundamentally. However, as we'll see tomorrow, this is not the end of the story. Because as Yonah Hook did mention, maybe we could say a totally different approach over here. And maybe there's something else going on. What is the premise of Rashi? What is the principle of Rashi? There's a principle Rashi is enunciating to me. What is he transmitting? What is he mishader? What's Rashi's shita? Where do I learn malachos from? Answer. I need an answer. The building of the Mishkan. Binyan HaMishkan. So there Ofer doesn't have a place. But comes along Yonah Hook. And Yonah Hook says, who says it's building the Mishkan? Maybe it's not building the Mishkan, but rather you can also look to Avodas HaKarbonos. You can look to the Karbonos as well. And if you look to Karbonos, not just Mishkan construction, but also Karbonos, then all of a sudden, you know what also gets counted? As a malacha? What also gets counted as a malacha is Ofer. Why? Because was Ofer done as part of the Avodas HaKarbonos? All the time. Lechem HaPanim, Shtei HaLechem, all the menachos. They were baked, matzahs, etc. There's a lot going on that's baking. So if you look at Avodas HaKarbonos, then indeed Ofer might be an Av Malacha. And Amir Tzashem, we will take a look at that tomorrow. I want to wish you all a very, very successful, prosperous, and elevating day.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes.
Can we also say another thing?